Our scripture lesson today is from 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to be reading from the Message, which was translated by Eugene Peterson. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God's self is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counseling, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by the one Spirit of God. God decides who gets what and when. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. I want you to think about how this all makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If foot said, "I'm not elegant like hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to the body," would that make it so? If ear said, "I'm not beautiful like eye, limpid and expressive. I don't deserve a place on the head," would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where God wanted it. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you're a part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, "Get lost, I don't need you," or head telling foot, "You're fired. Your job has been phased out"? As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body you are concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? Our bodies are a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part depended on every other part. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. These are our sacred stories.
I'm here to praise adult education. the Sunday 10 to 10:40 happening here, a time when we seek to relate two worlds often separated, the sacred and the secular. On the 14th of this month, after the curator for the Center of Contemporary Crafts presented, Ted Estes asked her if she had thoughts about the way the artifacts on display there at the center might carry religious or sacred meaning. Her insightful answer typifies the wealth of reports from the secular offered at adult education time. Speakers offer insight from an academic or professional perspective into the world of mystery. When one of us gives an account of our personal journey, a mixture of both the daily and the eternal, we're reminded that we're all ministers at Covenant. And this last Sunday, with details about affordable housing, the new space was a revelation. No interference of noise from outside, even at the end. A good sense of space and light because of well-placed windows with views of trees.
I'm here representing the Children and Youth Committee. Our new building greatly improves the educational and social outlet for our children and youth of all ages. For the first time, they have dedicated classrooms that aren't used for two or three other purposes. Because of this, the continuity of learning from Sunday to Sunday improves vastly, and the kids will feel a sense of ownership of their space. No longer are we rushing to hide evidence of their presence before the next event. Each of the classrooms is equipped with a TV connected to the internet. This broadens the opportunities to bring in photos, videos, and other media to Sunday school. It also lets us host movie nights with our youth, show camp videos to the kids, and more. The Children and Youth Committee has already been brainstorming ways to use our new building and grounds, including board game nights, increased capacity for camp community in the summer, greater involvement in our community garden. We welcome your ideas and creativity as we fill our space with love, laughter, and fingerprints on the windows.
Good morning. I'm Paul Wilson. I am the 2018 co-chair and will be the 2019 chair of the Church Facilities Committee. The difference between this year, 2018, and 2019 is that we now have a fellowship hall, which is wonderful, marvelous, and amazing. But that also now means the annual cost of the facilities operations and maintenance has nearly doubled. There's around a $20,000 facilities budget increase in the 2019 budget to operate and maintain the new fellowship hall. Facilities facilitate, but buildings are boxes that, empty and unoccupied, do nothing. They but provide the passive space within which human activity can transpire. There are latent potentiality that exists to allow activities to happen and dreams to come true when they are filled with spirit and energy and hope and determination and intention. We have pooled our communal resources to construct and maintain this sanctuary space and building since 2000. And now to provide a beautiful new space for expanded fellowship, education, outreach, and staff operations to facilitate the accomplishment of our expanded hopes and dreams. We need to spend some portion of the stewardship funds raised to keep the lights on, the buildings climatized, clean, insured, and presentable. We also need to put aside a little each year for anticipated and unanticipated future repairs and eventual replacement of building elements, such as mechanical equipment, floor coverings, roof, etc. Let us expand our giving this year to subscribe the budget and support our visions for what we can create through the utilization of the facilities we have so joyously and successfully funded and constructed.
The new building means so much to what the Hospitality Committee does for us as a congregation each Sunday. But being ever the rebel, I have to confess there are things I will miss about our old setup. I will miss navigating an undersized storage room, lost and found, and kitchen that seems to be Covenant Central on Sunday mornings. We would squeeze around each other while we prepare food and drinks in a place that also happens to be a hideaway for hungry kids, trying to sneak an early snack, followed by the inevitable apologetic parent. There may have been a lesson on recycling by a drop-by instructor, and various people bringing food for lunches after church and squeezing it into an already overcrowded refrigerator. There was wine, water, and a few types of bread being prepared for serving, while as many as five or six deacons did a last-minute drill of that Sunday's communion. I will miss the occasional ice crisis when we discover that the switch to make ice had not been set correctly and the ice dispenser was empty. I'll miss hitting start on a dishwasher that I have never personally witnessed completing a cycle. I live in faith that it really will complete that multi-hour wash by next Sunday when we need clean coffee cups again. And I don't think a tearful counseling session will ever be the same without a dish rag draped over the shoulder of my consoler. Last Sunday, I witnessed Sid Morehouse being behind a sparkling new counter navigating a brave new world. There was a roomy place to serve snacks, surrounded by tables and chairs for more relaxed visiting. There was a large space adjacent to the kitchen that could now be home to dinners and real visiting without whispering, though more often than not, folks only thought they were whispering. I can't tell you exactly what the new possibilities are because I haven't done hospitality duties in the new building, but I will be over there checking things out after the service today. And I also know that next Saturday night, many of us will witness how we can better be community in our new space.
The Missions Committee has a great task. We coordinate Covenant's social justice efforts. We accomplish this two ways. First, we write checks. We send your money to our American Baptist Family, Interfaith Ministries, Search, Faith and Practice, Bearing Omega, and Developments in Literacy. Second, we offer you opportunities to join us in volunteer work. We are providing bi-monthly meals for homeless teens at Montrose Grace Place, hosting events at the Med Center Hospitality Apartments, dispersing school supplies and Christmas gifts to the Christian Community Service Center, and supporting the women at Bellinizio. If you haven't already, come join us.
Okay, Alan, representing the Outreach Committee. Okay, I joined the Outreach Committee because I saw outreach as part of engaging the community and serving the community, which I love. And I came to Covenant personally because I needed a place I could explore my faith in new ways and grow beyond my childhood faith. I wanted to be able to help people to find the church and welcome new people to the church who come in. We don't really go out and try to increase our numbers and members like the church I grew up in, but it's important for our community to know we're here and to reach people who need a place like this to worship and build relationships. Hopefully, in the coming year, we can increase our outreach by coming up with new ways to engage the community. Some ways we started last year were putting out flyers for our Easter egg hunts, participating in city streets, in a joint activity with our city and neighborhood, and first Sunday lunches to engage new members, or visitors, sorry. The new building will hopefully improve our ability and our visibility. Explore new ways of serving the community through hosting events. We could now host meals, movie nights, games, community talks, and increase our partnerships since we have more space to host. So all that remains is to think about what partnerships we might build. Thank
you. As I ponder how our lives will evolve now that we have a second building, I put on my worship committee hat. And I see processions and candles and banners, and I hear silence and music and proclamation, and I see a communion table filled with a common shared meal. I look around the sanctuary and I see your faces. Then I remember this is what I saw and heard before we had two buildings. Being church together requires neither one building nor two, and yet here we sit with an abundance of riches. Concrete changes are occurring that impact our worship together. Using the narthex as a welcoming space rather than a fellowship space may impact noise levels. Perhaps we will enjoy increased meditative silence as we prepare for worship. Physical movement to and from the Huff Fellowship Hall may cause us to prepare for worship as a people on a journey. This familiar metaphor is now made manifest as we gather as a congregation and move into worship. And yet the majority of our worship rituals and rites will not change. We will continue to sing our praises and our thanksgiving. We will share confession, prayers, and communion. We will proclaim the good news to one another and to this city. We will share with each other. We will hold each other in joy and sorrow. We will include our children and ask them to share their wisdom with us. All these activities require no building at all. And our luxury is having spaces designed and used intentionally. Education and fellowship spaces and a worship space that is meditative and celebratory, filled with silence and laughter and prayer. Thanks be to God.